Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, national champions, and gunfight survivors help answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. And now, here is your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Events, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Events, lighter, stronger, better. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com. Get the latest behind-the-scenes info, arguments, photos, videos, other stuff, things, at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Co-hosting with me, absolutely nobody, because Jack is somewhere doing nerd stuff. So I'm all by myself in the studio, which makes me sad and reminds me of high school at lunch. Hopefully everyone's laughing right now. Doing the show without a co-host is always kind of interesting to me because I sort of play off the other person in the room, whether or not they're saying much of anything, and sort of go from there. So I apologize in advance. Anyway, we've got a really cool show lined up with Steve Fisher, who will hopefully not get me any FCC violations. Before we get Steve on the line, though, hey, guess what? This segment brought to you by Tactical Night Vision Company. The night is dark and full of terrors, or at least it used to be. But now we have the technology to fight the night. And TNVC is your one-stop shop for all your dark fighting needs. From the TNV PVS-14 night vision goggle, to the IR Patrol thermal monocular and everything in between, TNVC can outfit your defense against the dark arts. Doesn't matter if it's your lost keys, the enemy, or that little kid from down the street that likes to wander off. Those darn Pokemon always going out and hiding in the dark. TNVC has what you need to find things in the night. TNVC now with financing. Own or finance the night. Oh God, this is terrible. I can't do the show without a co-host. It's just bad. And the producers are just looking at me with like this expression of, oh no. Anyway, joining us this evening, Steve Fisher. Steve, how's it going, man?
Good, brother. What's happening?
Oh, not too much. I'm just slowly drowning inside of the studio with no co-host to save me. How about you? How are you doing?
Awesome. Just wrapped up a class here in Bradford, PA, about an hour and a half ago.
Nice. What class was it, if you don't mind me asking?
Essential handgun. Haven't done one of those in a while, so it was good.
I need to come out to that. I've been out to your shotgun class, and I've gotten to come out when you've been running Shoot House under the EAG banner with those guys, and I got to take a really long van ride with you. And that was an experience. God.
That was epic.
It certainly was. But we're not going to talk about that on air because I don't think the statute of limitations has quite ran out. For those that don't know or haven't heard you on the show before or bought any Magpul stuff in the past when you were still doing that, can you say who you are, what you do, and all that good stuff?
Yeah, Steve Fisher, obviously. My current company is Sentinel Concepts.
Mm-hmm.
Full-time trainer and instructor for everything from open enrollment classes to law enforcement, military-specific stuff. The whole gamut, like a lot of dudes that are out there. A lot of weapons manipulation training, home defense, Shoot House.
Right.
Just the whole gamut of instruction. But yeah, that's pretty much in a nutshell.
Well, so I always kind of feel bad asking this question because if anyone made me go on to a show and ask me what I did, I'd be like, I don't know. Checks keep showing up, so I guess something. But
that's basically about it.
So you're kind of an interesting fellow for a couple of different reasons, especially if you've ever like sat down and had a meal with you and watch you make a waitress cry, which I've had the distinct pleasure of several times now. But you're very serious about the training that you give people. Without, I mean, with not that you don't have a sense of humor, but like you are looking at it very, very seriously. And it seems to be something that, you know, a lot of the people I'm friends with don't have this problem, but a lot of people lose sight of the fact that when we're teaching people, we're teaching them to respond to arguably the worst day of their life. Do you think that trainers lose sight of that sometimes?
There are a lot of them out there that do lose sight of that. You know, like many guys in our profession, you know, we've had those people that come in from other programs, other classes. It's always interesting to hear, you know, what they've learned, you know, at other places they've trained with, or we see the results usually, you know, throughout the class, throughout the curriculum.
Right.
The problem that I have seen a lot of over the years is there's too many dudes that are stroking people's egos.
Mm-hmm.
They get them into a class, they take their dollars. You know, I'm not saying that they don't care, but they're puppy mills.
Right.
They stroke people's egos. They make them feel great about themselves. You are just so awesome. You are doing great. Keep it up. You know, just excellent work. And it's usually because, one, they don't know how to manage a class. They don't know how to manage personalities other than they want people to like them.
Mm-hmm.
They want people to come and have an experience, have a good time, you know, get some, you know, decent training, and then feel good about themselves when they leave, not realizing that they're doing them a big injustice.
Yeah.
And others. You know, we come to class, we have fun. It's lighthearted because it has to be.
Right.
You have to relax. You have to have fun or else you're not going to learn. You're not going to process information. Or you're just going to shut down. But when it comes time to be serious, there is no room for any of the touchy-feely feel good. It's ridiculous. And understanding that, you know, people have to start somewhere. Hopefully they learn to educate themselves about other training programs that are out there. They don't get what we would call, you know, virgin love with their first instructor, and that's the only place they live.
Right.
And obviously a lot of those instructors are good about pushing people out to other programs. Some are like, yeah, we've got the market. We're going to corner this. We're going to keep them here and just run through the 20-tier step. And the issue is, for me, when it's time to get very serious, it's time to be very serious.
Well, and that
because
was...
It's a very serious matter that we're dealing with. We're talking about potentially taking human lives.
Right, right. I mean, and I was fortunate enough to... I was just up at Alliance Police Training Facility, and I got to take the Shoot House instructor class up there that was taught by John Chapman and Joe Wire, who are both amazing dudes. And I did not do nearly as well as that class as I would have liked to, and we can talk about that after the break if you want, but I don't want to talk about someone else's class for your interview. But one of the things that the Chappie put into words that was kind of floating in the back of my head, but hadn't really occurred to me the way he put it, was, you know, the number one mark of a professional over someone else was seriousness, you know, just kind of like you were saying there. And I wanted to just bring that up just so in case he listened and go like that. Well, I can't use the word, but that not nice fellow John didn't mention me here. And I was just talking with him about this. I can say bastard on air. Yeah, you know, but so I guess we've got about 60 seconds left, and you're pretty good for sound bites that annoy people with that don't want to hear it. But how do you think, or what do you think we need to do to get people to realize that when either they're going and taking training or if they're teaching things?
Crush their souls, kill their egos, rebuild them into better people, and make them better at what they're doing and what they need to understand needs to be done.
Okay. So, and we'll have a conversation about that when we get back. And if you want to talk about ego crushing, for the first time in years, speaking in the class that I was just at, I got a participation trophy instead of a completed certificate.
Oh.
Hey,
you're not a special snowflake.
No, well, I never thought I was, and honestly, that was what I earned. And I'm, you know, it was a great class, and I'm going to go back and do better. But There are a lot of places that wouldn't have done that. Anyway, we got to go to break. We're talking with Steve Fisher right now. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Sig Sauer, now with more options. We're not all the same, and our carry gun shouldn't have to be either. Sig Sauer gives you choices. With more models than the Bible's got Psalms, it's never been easier to find a Sig Sauer that fits your needs. From the extremely versatile striker-fired P320 with modular grip frame, to the Legion Series P226, the single-stack P225A1, or the entry-level SP2022, Sig Sauer makes a model that's right for you. Just don't ask for Callahan full-bore auto-lock. They don't make that yet. Sig Sauer, when it counts. And now I'm even sadder that Jack's not here, because he's the only one that would have known that was a song from Firefly and Serenity, and never mind. Anyway. So, Steve Fisher is joining us. Steve, are you still there?
Yes, I am. I'm missing Jack. I miss my Jack.
I miss Jack too, very much. I'm just sitting here going, dear God, I couldn't do this show by myself every week. It would get bad. Then I'd start doing, like, I don't know, things like talking to myself and John, another John, and that was an Archer reference. But anyway, so you're talking about crushing people's souls, which is something that I know you take particular pleasure in. But let me ask you this, and I do have some gear-related questions for later on for people that are more interested in that. But to be perfectly honest, this conversation is sort of what I'm into these days. It's a two-part question, I guess. Number one, do you think that the culture of everybody gets a trophy, safe places, everybody's got to be good at something has negatively impacted our industry, number one? And number two, if so, where do you find the line between, you know, making an environment where people feel comfortable learning, but where it also challenges them to get better?
I do believe too many people come to classes feeling, you know, or instructors will also let students come in feeling way too special. They paid good money to be here. They came good money to learn.
Right.
They didn't come there to be our best friends. They didn't come there to hang out and, you know, do it. They came there to learn. They came to us for knowledge or an education on particular subjects, topics, skill sets, whatever the case may be.
Let me interrupt because I'm sorry. Do you think that's the main difference between entertainment and instruction?
There's a big difference between the entertainment, the instruction, and teaching.
Do you think the difference, though, is like the people that go to hang out with the instructor and have fun versus, well, this may suck, but I'm going to do it anyway?
There are those. You know, it's been so hard for years. You've got those people that, you know, they want to come touch the magic. They want to say they took that class, check that box.
Taste the rainbow. Please continue.
Yep. And that's cool. Don't get me wrong. I've had over the years a lot of favorite instructors that I like to repeat classes with.
Right.
But mainly to use them as a gauge of my performance standards.
Right.
How I did the year previous, whatever. But yeah, there are a lot of people that come in to do the whole entertainment thing or to touch that magic, to come and say, well, I took a class with that, so I'd be a cool person. That's great. If that's what you want to do, do it. But don't distract from what is being taught in the class,
right.
You know, by being just, you know, whatever the case is. My job is to create a good learning atmosphere.
Okay.
We have fun. We keep it light to a degree. When it is go time, it is absolute go time. And when I demand things, I demand them. And that is performance on demand. And it must be met.
Why do you think that... Let me not assume that people don't, but do you think that performance on demand is an overlooked skill?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it is. I see it every class.
And for those that don't know, I mean, what's your idea of performance on demand?
So a specific drill, exercise, skill set, done cold, out of the gate, on a timer, or a specific scoring zone for a specific number of rounds and or task.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just call it draw, shoot two, perform a speed reload, shoot two, with inside a 5-second window.
Okay.
Inside of a 6-inch area, 6-inch box, at, say, 7 yards. Performance on demand, clean that drill. Or at least hit 90% or do it within the times. All those things combined. It must be done. It has to be done. It must be met.
Right.
And if you don't meet it, cool story. Guess what? Now we will work to build you to where you can meet that performance on demand.
So, and I already know that a lot of people, well, not hopefully not a lot of my listeners, but if some people would look at a drill like that and go, well, that's not a scenario that you're likely to face.
Henceforth the term scenario.
Right.
Right.
And that's a completely different conversation where the number of people that get drills confused with scenarios. But would you say that the important part of that is that it's a measurable standard and there is a outside pressure introduced via the time limit and and having other people watch?
Yes, peer pressure is a wonderful thing. And like a lot of my classes, I have a series of standard drills, exercises, whatever you want to call them.
Right.
I often pit student against student in certain exercises or drills in a round-robin fashion until I have one left standing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you
shoot against them and beat Greg Elifritz?
Yeah. Oh, poor Greg. Greg is an awesome dude. I'm sure the listeners don't realize, whatever, but last week I had a class in Miamisburg, Ohio, and I was luckily enough to be hosted by Dave Spaulding and his son.
Right.
Dave's a great trainer. I know he's been on the show in times past.
Yeah.
Along with that, Greg was there. And Greg's just a great human being. Greg is good at a lot of stuff.
We talked about that a little bit.
Yeah, he doesn't have one specific awesome area. But what he does have is a lot of knowledge in a lot of other places that all kind of combine to make Greg's package.
Right.
And Greg is just an awesome dude. And, it's great to put people against people, make them do things performance on demand in front of their peers.
Yep.
And that is one way to really crush people's souls and break them down. But what it also does, it compartmentalizes tasks.
How so? Talk about that a little bit more, if you don't mind.
Well, when you think about it, people get inside their own heads. Like I tell pretty much all the classes.
Right.
You'll get inside your own head. I don't have to stress you. I can just give you a drill or an exercise that you will put enough stress on yourself, worrying about the pressure of competing against another person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even have to pull the timer out. I just have to give them an exercise that involves a scoring zone, but a specific drill that they must shoot clean. And so now they're up there, they're worrying about this dude that they've been watching, or this male or female that they've been watching shoot for the past couple hours, and they're, that person was really good. Or they get inside their own head. They lose emotional control, something I talk about heavily in class. And they lose that emotional control, and they don't focus on the task at hand. They're more worried about what the person next to them is doing. And then they try to overrun their headlights to beat that person, and not realizing and understanding that do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Worry about you at your rate, at your pace, completing the task. Don't worry about the person next to you, because that's when you screw it up.
Let me ask you this. Would you say that emotional control is the most overlooked skill necessary to be successful inside of the greater self-defense question?
Yes, it is.
Why is that? And we got about a minute left, and I'm going to have to interrupt you.
The emotional control is a mental aspect. I'm not talking about absolute Zen calm here. We know that's not realistically as possible, but that emotional control is your ability to have control over your tasks, your functions, your ability to apply those things to get you through that course that is happening, or that action, or that event.
Right.
And how do you get good at it?
Just practice, I suppose.
Things of being, well, practice, right? It's like going to jiu-jitsu class or combatives class.
Right.
Until you've been choked out or punched in the face or gotten and been put in those uncomfortable positions, you won't know how you're going to do. So once you get put in those uncomfortable places and positions and you learn to work through them, life is so much better.
Yeah, let me interrupt because we got to go to break right now. We're talking with Steve Fisher. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s and scatterguns since 1977. Legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories at www.wilsoncombat.com. I love it. I love it when the end of the show song plays in the middle of the show because then I get confused. So anyway, we're talking with Steve Fisher. Steve, are you still there?
I'm here.
Perfect. We were discussing the importance of emotional control and how that stress inoculation matters for what we do. Would you say that the more emotional control somebody has, the less likely they are to make a life-altering mistake?
You know, that's very much scenario-based dependent and outside environmental factors. But
right.
I would say the more emotional control that they have, the better their ability to process information and make good conscious decisions involving what is going on around them.
Okay, that makes sense. Is there anything else you want to say about that? Because I'm going to move on to some gear stuff if you're okay with it.
No, go, brother. I'm good.
All right. So you're working on some cool bags with sneaky bags, ways to carry more gear. I'd kind of like to get your take on that because there's, you know, to the best of my knowledge, there's not been a civilian shooting where a civilian has retrieved a long gun from a vehicle. Hold on, there's one. It doesn't happen often. That having been said, I've started carrying a long gun with me more places. It seems like the way the world is going, that it's not a bad idea. What are your thoughts on that and preparedness and where do we find the balance between, you know, preparing for a likely scenario versus having the equipment necessary to survive an unlikely scenario if we find ourselves in it?
You know, it's nice to have the long gun and the long gun capability. Absolutely is. You know, today's day and age, there's a lot of cool toys out there that help us with that. You know, some of the collapsible stock PDW type guns,
right.
The, you know, SBRs and shorty guns with Law Tactical folders, which I'm a big fan of on certain guns. You know, ways of carrying them in a low enough profile, rapid accessible capability has always been an issue.
Mm-hmm.
How fast is gun have to be deployed? Well, you know, again, this comes back to a lot of my teachings of seeing things sooner rather than reacting faster.
Right.
And that's a whole other subject. But having a good bag, something that is low profile, that allows you to carry enough equipment with you is always an advantage. Now, are you or me going to look out of place carrying a Wilson 10-ounce racket bag? Yes. I am not the guy that you're going to see carrying around a Wilson tennis racket bag. Now, it's a different story if it's linked back to the vehicle. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's something out of sight, out of mind type of deal. Certain packs, certain bags that are out there have functionality. Some of them are completely out of place.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know where that mix or that blend is. Now, having a long gun for a very unlikely scenario that could possibly happen that may truthfully actually come down to happening and occurring in today's day and age, it's a good idea to have. Right? But it has to be with you.
And that seems to be the one that a lot of people miss. And I see I see a lot of people that talk about long guns and they talk about like truck guns. And I'm like, well, if it's in your truck or car or whatever, and you're not in your truck or car or whatever, there's two problems there. One of them being that if you need it, you don't have it.
Yeah, number, it's not there. Yeah, it's suffering from anxiety.
Yeah. Number two, it's pretty easy to break into a car and steal stuff. You know?
Yep.
And most people don't do a very good job of securing things like that.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely true.
So what do you think the ideal setup is then? I mean, I know we've talked about this a little bit.
Sure.
But what for people listening, what do you need? What don't you need? You know, what should you think about having if you're concerned with stuff like this?
I truthfully am more concerned about having an immediately accessible weapon.
Okay.
AKA pistol.
Right.
Okay, and a pistol skills to go with it. Now, on top of that, I would be looking more heavily towards medical in that bag.
Yep.
A lot of medical equipment, you know, sustainment items such as batteries, chem lights, you know, first aid equipment, extrication tool, whatever the case is. You know, you can fill this thing with 1 million pounds of gear.
Right.
I look at necessities to allow me to gain access to places I may need to go to solve medical issues, lighting conditions, things of that nature. But if I did have to travel with a long gun, which I do travel with a long gun everywhere I go,
yeah.
There's always one accessible, either secured in the rig or it comes out of the rig and goes with me.
Right.
Low enough profile, very low observable, very, you know, non-attracting attention colors, bags, that type of design.
Right.
Something that breaks up the outline of the weapon incredibly well and does not scream gun. Too many bags out there scream gun, especially if a trained person who's looking for them. There are a lot of options, but what I need is I need something reliable, something durable, something accessible. But here's the most often overlooked part of these things. I'm sorry, I'm just kind of sidelining here with that. But
no,
you know, the general rule: have a gun that works for you, have a good gun, have it immediately accessible, have the knowledge to use it, and the whereabouts of when to use it and when to deploy it versus other avenues of egress.
Right.
Okay. Depending on the situation you're in, family, friends, there's a lot of context that go with that.
Yeah. One, it's hard to give a catch-all answer for, you know, a 40-minute radio show.
Sure, absolutely.
But hopefully we bring up a question that someone's not thought about, and then they can start doing research on their own and all that good
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. The one thing that most people truly forget about, though, is trading up.
What do you mean by that?
So let's just take the ultimate internet idiocy of, you know, when the 7-man ISIS cell hits the food court at the local mall in BFE America.
Yeah.
Awesome. Finally it happens. Great. And there you are. I whip out the blaster, start going to work on these dudes. I get one. Maybe I get two. Maybe I get the first one as the group splits. I'm doing good. I've knocked down, you know, X percentage of the problem. I look and say, woohoo, bad guys with lots of bigger guns than what I've got going on here. It may only be a Glock 43 at that point in time.
Right.
I will throw the Glock 43. I will take the AKAR, RPG, Tel-Tec, whatever the dude has.
Right.
And I will trade up to bigger, better resources of munitions and weapons to solve that problem.
So the battlefield pickup.
Exactly. Just call it trading up. You know, and that's it. Hey, look at this. Woohoo, I got this gun. I need to know how to use it. Great, I've got it. And I'm going to keep on pressing the attack and doing work at that point.
Well, I know Pat Rogers, before he died, was was teaching the battlefield pickup AK class, which I wanted to make it out to and unfortunately didn't get to.
That was a great class. Pat used to teach that class years ago when I first knew him. I mean, a long time ago.
Oh, yeah?
And it was a great class, and it was something he got away from doing. And it was kind of cool to see him bring it back. Pat was starting to have fun again with guns, which was awesome. And that was great. But yeah, Battlefield pickup, AK pick class, SAM player stuff, it's all important to have.
Well, and why? We got a couple minutes left in this segment, but why do you think people don't consider that often enough, or even discuss it often enough?
One, they're not exposed to it. Two, they don't have the mentality for it. Three, most may not understand those types of weapons that are out there. They may kind of look at it thinking, oh, there's a lever, there's something to pull. We don't make the gun work.
Right.
So you know, familiarization part, but a lot of people don't have the mentality or the mindset for it's just they get so sucked in past the obvious because they're not looking at a bigger picture.
Is that kind of where people start like focusing on minutiae, like the minutiae of gear or belt or whatever, and don't look at the bigger picture as far as, you know, the tactics involved or the things like that?
Oh, absolutely. I used to teach a class years ago, you know, driven towards kind of those scenarios.
Right.
And there would be, some guys may see it coming up this next year, that I would bring out 10 or 12 different types of weapons. It could be anything from an M14 to an AK to a bullpup design gun to all kinds of oddities that I had to say.
Right.
They would be placed downrange approximately 10 to 15 yards, point to cover, whatever, from the initial point. Dudes would, you know, handle their first problems, move to a next position of advantage, retrieve that gun, status check the gun, condition the gun in the position they needed to be in, engage with that gun, move to the next point, pick up a different gun. This would go on and on and on through a series to the point where they were transitioning back to their initial carry weapon.
Huh. Well, and it's... Mm-hmm. And to be clear, too, it's not like we're not trying to say that this happens so often, you know, inside of the States. It's more of if you, you know, was it Cooper that said if you find yourself struck by lightning, statistics are cold comfort or something like that? It's just important to have given at least a passing thought to this. But anyway, we got to go to break, Steve. When we get back, I want to talk about 1911s, if you're cool with that.
Yes.
Perfect. We're talking with Steve Fisher from Sentinel Concepts and other stuff and things. And right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Surefire. Know your target and what is beyond it, but how can you really know your target? By shining a really bright light at it or through it. And that's where Surefire comes in. From the USB rechargeable 300 lumen sidekick to the 500 lumen X300 Ultra or M600 Scout Light, Surefire can make sure you never have to yell "Aziz light" ever again. Doesn't matter if you're shining a light at a potential threat or just helping your friends see through their eyelids. I'm so sad Jack's not here to blind. When you need all the lumens for longer, you need Surefire. And now is a special offer to Ballistic Radio listeners. You can get 30% off every item at Surefire.com, except for suppressors and batteries, by entering the discount code ALLTHELUMENS. That is ALLTHELUMENS, no space, all the lumens, at Surefire.com. Anyway, we're talking with Steve Fisher. Hopefully you're still there, number one, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad. You haven't gotten bored yet and gone, and hang up, which...
I'll let you know, though.
Yeah, I keep waiting for that to happen. I'm sure it will one day. Please don't make it right now, though. Please?
No.
So let's talk 1911s for a little bit. I know you're a big fan. I like Nighthawk too, but I like Wilson Combat. They're one of my sponsors. I've had a lot of good luck with them. I know that you work with Nighthawk. Both, in my opinion, the two top tier semi custom production 1911 builders today. There's a couple things that people sort of rag on for 1911s. I want to talk about two of them. Number one is manual safeties. The people always say, well, you know, manual safety will get you killed on the streets. The same people never seem to have a problem with an AR-15, though. So what's up with that?
One, generally people are stupid.
Yes.
I'll put that flat out there. I'm just tired of stupid people. But what happens is this. You have a culture, a bracket of people who have grown up only knowing one gun.
Right.
They've either lived in a striker-fired world their entire life or whatever the case is. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with Glocks, M&Ps, SIGs, so forth. So on. They're all great guns.
Right.
But when people have only known one thing in their life, they choose to forget the history, the needs, et cetera. So let's address the manual safety.
Right.
The manual safety on a 1911 is designed to be disengaged as part of your natural firing grip on the gun.
Right.
My firing grip does not change, or my master grip, whatever you want to call it today. I don't care.
Other strong hand, kilo blastomatic.
Whatever stupidness is. When I grab a gun, my grip does not change between pistols. I don't care if it's a 1911, a Glock, an M&P, a SIG 320, yada, 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 yada.
Right.
It's always the same. My thumbs go to the same direction, same place. My hands meet in that same time frame, space in life. Guess what goes off? Oh, my God, wait for it. The manual safety.
Yes.
It's amazing how when you apply a master grip to the gun and the way the ergonomics of the weapon are designed, that it disengages very fluidly. No problem there. Cool story. It's people seem to forget that people were using 1911s a long time ago, like since what, 1900. To literally kill other human beings in combat, in law enforcement work, in literally gangland warfare. When people had access to full automatic weapons, including BARs and Thompson machine guns and, through the gangster days. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff going on back then. Dudes were still doing good work with revolvers in 1911s.
Right, right.
Against people with a lot bigger, badder guns and shotguns, amazing. But, granted, times have changed. We evolved, the guns evolved, but the one gun that has stayed around that whole time frame has been the 1911 and/or wheel gun. That's a cool story.
When it seems like... So here's one thing I will say. The people that harp on the safety on a 1911 and say, well, this is a problem or not a problem or whatever.
Right.
It's not even that I would disagree with them. It's just they're approaching it from the wrong direction and they're highlighting the wrong part of the problem. And the part of the problem on the 1911 manual safety, in my opinion, and I'd like to get your take on it, is not so much disengaging it. It's remembering to put it back on when it should be on.
Absolutely. It's just like an AR-15.
Right.
When do I put it back on? Well, when I'm done with the gun and done with the problem.
Right.
When I'm no longer sights married to a problem. And, hey, if the worst case in the world thing happens that you forget to re-engage the mechanical safety on that gun at some point in time before it goes back in the holster, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Worst thing is you treat it like any other gun because guess what? Oh, wait, it also has a grip safety. I mean, there's redundancy there. I get it. But you know what? Then, of course, comes worse. You treat it like you do any other striker fired gun.
Well, and that seems to be what a lot of people miss. We got a couple more minutes in this segment, and then we're going to be done with the show because it's a quick hour. But the other problem, capacity, and I'm not even saying it's a problem. I'm carrying a 1911 right now.
Absolutely.
What do you think about that as far as the capacity issue?
Capacity is stupid for people. Here's the deal. Capacity does not equal accuracy or ability.
Mm-hmm.
It does not. I would rather have a gun with a better trigger, better sights, better ergonomics than 27 rounds in my Wonder Blaster.
Well, if I could get all, both of them, that'd be nice, but.
I do. I have 1911s that are double stacked with an RMR that hold 27 rounds of ammo. Why do I care then?
Right, exactly.
Life is great and a weapon light, but here's the thing. That capability of the gun of having a lot of bullets does not equal your skill set. It does not make your skill set. It does not give you skill set.
Right.
Accuracy still trumps capacity. We know factually that most engagements in the citizen world have all been handled with, on an average, a gross average of under 12 rounds fired. And that, what I think we talked about this once before, the 11 to 12 rounds is on the very high end of the spectrum.
Yeah, yeah.
Most have been finished and done within 5 to 6 rounds.
Well, and it, you know, we were talking about Tom Givens students who are pretty good shooters by and large, if they've been through Tom's program. You know, in his 65 shootings, once we get rid of the 3 that didn't carry their gun that day, the 62 who won, I want to say the average worked out to like 3 or 4. I'd have to ask Tom, but it was a pretty low average.
Mm-hmm. And that even applied, if I remember correctly, on multiple offenders, because usually only one gets some because everybody else runs.
Well, yeah. I mean, and once again, we're not advocating everyone should carry. You know, at the end of the day, you should carry whatever you want to carry, but
absolutely.
Maybe everyone should stop worrying about what other people have in their holsters.
Yeah, you know, there's the usual ribbing and joking that goes on between a lot of us who are professionals in the industry.
Right.
You know, we always rib for a lot.
Right.
No big deal.
Right.
But then there's the idiots that are like, oh, 1911 manual safeties will get you killed. They're unreliable. They're not durable. I've got a 1911 from Nighthawk and a 9mm that is getting ready to crest 10,000 rounds that has never been cleaned. It has been lubed, and a recoil spring has been changed.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well,
I can count the number of malfunctions related to it based on ammo or a magazine issue on one hand.
Well, and that's kind of like what I did, I want to say last year, when I put 15,000 rounds through that Wilson Combat 9mm in it. You know, so quality 1911 will run and run. But hey, Steve, we're at the end of the show. People can look you up on Facebook, Sentinel Concepts, or Google you. Your website will pop up?
Yep, sentinelconcepts.com. It's all out there.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
Hey, thanks, brother. You be safe. I'll talk to you soon, all right?
Good day, Mark. We'll just...
All right, see ya. Anyway, thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe. Remember to check out our website, ballisticradio.com, like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio, and keep leaving those 5-star reviews on iTunes. It really helps us out. See you next week.